this is Radio Kate, and I am here at the Belfast Media Festival 2011. And we've already had a keynote session by Mark Thompson this morning. And I'm just sitting here on a table telling people all about Audioboo, which is, of course, wonderful. And I'm also trying to catch a bit of the spirit of this event. So I've grabbed an unassuming passerby. I would like to introduce yourself, sir.
Alan Mibben, or Alan in Belfast, if I'm blogging.
And is blogging what you do? Is that your bread and butter, or do you have another career?
It's my out-of-control hobby, probably. normally I work in the local IT industry, but here today to show up for the new media contingent at the Belfast Media Festival.
And do you think there's a lot of new media here, or are we still stuck with the traditional broadcasters?
I think, to be fair, the programme is largely kind of, if you like, old media, mainstream media, kind of friendly. But there's a surprising number of folk kind of lurking around. There's a whole exhibition kind of area behind us that has lost its ties and looks a bit more techie and new media, social media presence there. So yeah, I think it's kind of getting there. Some of the sessions, you're starting to kind of hear people. There's a question at the last session, which was kind of looking at the secret of my success, a whole pile of kind of exec producers from local indies and things talking about what were the big standout moments that made their kind of careers turn around.
So what is the secret?
The secret appears to be just to say yes when you're asked to do something impossible that you have no clue how to do. It was increasingly scary as they kind of had stories of kind of brought into a meeting and given kind of, you know, 2 hours later was kind of starting to be on set to do something which I'd never done before and just did it by gut instinct. So I'm not sure what skill set who I'm sponsoring today will have to say about that, because the skill appears to be just say yes and brazen it out and success may come. But it's interesting to hear some of them start to address questions of what do you do about social media, what do you do about even people pitching ideas, you know, is it worthwhile? Somebody asked the question, is it worthwhile putting stuff on YouTube, you know, or do you still have to go and pitch to commissioners? And the answer was kind of a bit of both. One or two people will get success off YouTube. Most people will actually end up getting success by bringing their content, which might be demoed on YouTube, but bringing it in front of a commissioner to say, you probably haven't seen this. Is this worthwhile? Would you like to do something with it? So there's beginning to be kind of old media starting to figure out that there's opportunity with new media, but still you have to kind of bring it to their office and don't expect them just to trip over it.
I'm wondering, I mean, the sort of commissioners that are out there, are they still looking for the sort of traditional kind of, you know, a programme, standalone programme that will go out on a schedule, or are they now starting to open up to ideas where there could be some interaction with the audience, there could be some clips that come from the programme that go onto YouTube, as opposed to them finding the content that way originally, but actually, what do they call it now, 360-degree
commissioning. Yeah.
Did they have anything to say about that?
They didn't really mention it, but the clips earlier on, they kind of had a 3-minute show reel before Mark Thompson kind of spoke at the start. They were showing things made in Northern Ireland that had been on network TV in the last year. And some of that would have included things like the Sunday Morning Live, which is filmed in Belfast, but you can't really tell. But you've got people kind of Skyping in, you've got people tweeting in and things, and they're starting to actually generate their, you know, about 15 minutes out of their hour is coming from people sitting at home with a headset on, some of whom they've obviously found beforehand, but some of whom seem to have made contact during the show. And they're starting to do a bit more retweeting during it of what people are saying and trying to get a wee bit of a buzz. Now how much that adds to the actual experience, but it's probably cheaper and easier than people having to phone in, you know, and get their comments to scroll across the bottom, but you kind of see the start of it.
Certainly with things like Question Time, there was so much activity on Twitter that they had to then start acknowledging that it was out there, that conversation was going on. I was glad to see that I wasn't the only one who had a sharp intake of breath at the very beginning of the day when they said, make sure you turn off your phone. So I was like, but how can I tweet?
And then announced the hashtag, which is the odd thing that it's still something. It's a really uncomfortable moment when, you know, William Crawley has to kind of say, and, you know, I want you to use, you know, BMF 2011 and it's your hashtag. It's an uncomfortable set of things, really, rather than just put a hashtag up on the screen and assume that people would know what to do with it. We still seem to be training old media how to use social media when they kind of probably should already know.
So if we're still in a situation where there is a gap between the new and emerging technologies, social media, and the, you know, the old school broadcasters, how do we bridge that gap? I mean, you're a blogger. What kind of problems do you find? Do people take you seriously? Or they go, oh, you're just another person that sits in your pyjamas on your sofa ranting about whatever comes into your head?
I think it's changed quite a lot in the last year. I do quite a lot of politics stuff around Slugger O'Toole and my own website, Alan in Belfast. That's the plug. And I would have turned up at the last elections at all the kind of party conference, the manifesto launches. And yeah, for a while I was kind of the bloody blogger, or as he might have been referred to, you know, he turns up with these things. And then it got to a point where actually, yes, they were complaining that we would be tweeting the lines people would be saying before they could get it on the radio, but actually it got to the point then where they're now tweeting the lines. And so I think in some areas, particularly kind of within journalism, there is a more of an immediacy that actually the people who are paid to do it are actually using the same tools and the same time frames as those of us who just do it for the fun of it. And I think there is a bit more, I guess, kind of sharing and respect across it. Even UTV locally have made their content available, a lot of their video content available, so you can actually now embed it in your blog. You can kind of sign up. In fact, if you had millions of people using it, you might even get a bit of a payback. I suspect that's not going to happen too much. But the things there, they're actually open to the fact that they want to track who's using it and encouraging people to use it. Maybe the BBC will go a little bit further with that at some point. It'd be nice to see more than just kind of Democracy Live available to embed, because there's a lot of content out there that actually we're not going to be able to capture as bloggers and kind of amateurs at all of this, but actually the talking around it is the kind of stuff that you'd want to be able to embed around it.
Well, we are actually seeing at Audioboo, we're seeing some of the, certainly the BBC local stations, and now some of the national stations are taking small segments, clips from programmes that have been, you know, particularly interesting or controversial or, you know, fascinating, and they've taken those small clips, put them on Audioboo so that those clips are being shared, even if you've not listened to perhaps a 3-hour phone-in. Mm-hmm. You know, that one gem of a caller with, you know, there was one called ended up with his own hashtag, Angry Melvin. He rang into BBC Three Counties and complained about the royal wedding, all the fuss about the royal wedding, and they just tweeted, I think this is the angriest caller I've ever had. You know, they put the clip on Audioboo within 10 minutes of it being out on air, and I think a week later they had him back on the radio telling me, did you know you've become an internet celebrity? About 250,000 people have listened to this clip. And people have remixed it for ringtones and a song. And it was fascinating. But that's, you know, it's those little gems that can sometimes get lost in a long programme if you just happen to miss those few minutes of radio. But by sharing it, by syndicating those small bits of content, it's actually bringing a new audience to your programme.
And it's the power of something like Audioboo that it's very handy for very small clips. It's very handy for encouraging people to hit the kind of the Facebook button or the Twitter button and actually kind of onward share it. So it's kind of viral within it. It makes viral easy. It also, certainly I would find, even around some party conferences and stuff, it's relatively easy to, you can leave a laptop in the corner kind of uploading to it, and then it does it for you. You know, it's all there. But I think that's an easy way of a lot of people, including obviously now broadcasters, of just putting things out very cheaply. I mean, even Mark Thompson talking about delivering quality first, effectively cuts. There are going to be fewer people in most of the broadcasters, and certainly fewer people around some of the newspapers as well locally, actually able to do this. And yet there are tools out there now that allow anybody to do it, including them, relatively cheaply, relatively fast, reasonable quality, predictable, and it doesn't cost them too much.
Yeah, it certainly makes a change. My background is a radio journalist, and when I first started out, my job was to find the one area that the public weren't going to walk in front of and that had a clear signal to the satellite to set up the little sat kit that we would then plug in and do our live reports from. Well, you know, you could just do that with a phone and file straight back to the studio so simply. It's really changing the way that journalists can work. You know, on the spot, you see something happen. You know, the best device, you know, the best camera you've got is the one that's in your pocket. It's kind of the same now with audio, and with my iPhone in my pocket, I can do all sorts of things. So,
if we turn the questions the other way, do you miss? Obviously, you're kind of radio kit. You're a radio person, but do you miss pictures? And do you think there's still, is audio more flexible than kind of doing moving images to go with the pictures?
I'm a radio person through and through, and I think radio done well can be, you know, the pictures are better on the radio. If you do it well, if you can describe something, if you can bring in, you know, the ambient noise, a good description of what's going on, and the immediacy of it. Because, you know, with a radio report, you can ring into a radio station and say, you know, this building is on fire and I can see, you know, 3 fire engines down there, there's a woman shouting from the window, somebody's looking for the cat, there's a guy trying to persuade the woman to jump out the way. You know, you can paint that picture. You're trying to do that for television, well, you've got to wait for your camera crew to arrive, they've got to film it, they've got to send the images back to the television station, they've got to edit it together. There's something wonderful and immediate about radio, and done well, I don't think you can beat it.
Do you think the last session that we were at was looking at Secrets of Success and kind of those breakthrough moments? Is there a breakthrough moment for Audio Boo? You know, what was that? Was that the riots, or was that kind of the kettling in London kind of a few months ago? Or, you know, has Audio Boo had a moment yet where, in a sense, it, not its fortunes turned, but its publicity maybe, or its recognition kind of turned?
We continue to develop and we continue to have those breakthrough moments, but actually the thing that really set us off was, I think it was about 2 weeks after Audio Boo launched, and I wasn't actually a member of the team back then, but there was a Guardian reporter who'd gone out to do some reporting. I think was it the G20 riots or something like that, and they got out there, realised they'd left their recording equipment, didn't know what to do. Jemima Kiss said, oh, just download this app to your phone and do your reports. And that's what they did. And they were then instantly able to embed the players in the Guardian website very simply. This was so early, we hadn't even branded the player. So they basically had a free player and you know, free hosting for all their audio, and that was lovely. But I mean, that really
started it.
That kind of started off. And that was literally took everyone by surprise, because it was, we'd go like, oh, here's a new app. And then bam, you know, national coverage immediately. So I guess that was one of our moments.
Okay. Well, we should probably go to another session. Or
Indeed. What else are you looking forward to, apart from lunch today, do you think?
Yeah, food's always important.
Yeah, food is important. I might recommend the Radio Without End session, because my good self will be doing a few moments there.
Yeah, I was kind of planned in for that. I think, actually, one of the interesting things is hearing network and national folk talking in the Northern Ireland context, because they're, I mean, we're kind of here with, if you like, 3% of the population. And it's interesting to hear how they adapt their message to, say, what happens in a small creative industry that is, seems to be kind of growing and becoming more sustainable. So I think it will be interesting, particularly even to hear what Danny Cohen and David Abraham, who I think for me has missed most of David Abraham, but what they have to kind of say in terms of... that's okay. But you know, what they have to say in the context of what's possible over here, and actually what their ambition is, and whether they can be bothered getting out of London and actually going north of Salford, and maybe even north of, you know, just to get kind of closer to other creative folk who seem to be capable of doing things to as good a standard as London.
Absolutely. Right, well, I shall let you get on to enjoy the rest of the Belfast Media Festival. If you want to follow what's going on here, I suggest the hashtag on Twitter, which is BMF2011. Enjoy your day. Thank you.
Bye.